Thank you. I chose my first poem because Jimmy once introduced me by saying that I write poems about peace. So this one's for Jimmy. And it's about a 19th century Quaker artist named Edward Hicks, who painted many versions of the scene that is described in the epigraph to the poem. And the epigraph is a quote from the Bible. Peaceable kingdoms. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. In the first peaceable kingdom Edward Hicks painted, he pictured the little child as other artists did. Curly-haired toddler, a shawl around his waist. Plump fingers grip the lion's mane. Lioness, sheep, wolf, goat follow. 62 times Edward pictured Isaiah's prophecy. But year by year, vision after vision, the child transforms. He ages a few years. Dons a toga, sometimes seems almost a young woman in gathered bodice, flowing skirt. Leopard and bear join the company. So do other children, or are they angels? The young leader's garb turns white again. A dove lights on a girl's hand. Then Edward began to add, painted small in the distance, a few men standing beneath a tree. Settlers, natives from our country's history, or Quakers from the artist's own time, reasoning together in peace. For 33 years, Edward depicted kingdoms. At last, the child again wears a classic gown, but the face, almost adult, unique each time, fair or swarthy, balding or blonde, as though the artist borrowed features of souls he knew to honor friends as the peaceable one. Did Edward Hicks intend to say, "All of us are children of God"? Was his message to young and old, male and female, then and now, only we can lead our world to peace? Now, my second poem is more personal, though disguised as fiction. It's one of a series of narrative poems that I have written about a character named Ellen Davis, who is based on myself as a child. Ellen could. "Put more expression in it," Ellen critiqued her mother's reading of the book about the little blue engine. Although Ellen had learned to read, sort of, she still liked to hear her favorite stories in her mother's voice. In first grade, the teacher made Ellen stand up front and read a whole page of Tom and Nancy to the class. Four long straight lines. "I can't, it's too much." Of course, she had to anyhow. "That wasn't so hard now, was it?" Miss Foster said. "No," Ellen knew she had to answer. One evening at home after dinner, Ellen begged to hear her mother read "The Little Engine That Could" again. But mother went to lie down on her bed, saying, "Why don't you read it to me?" "I can't read all that. It's too much." "Yes, you can. I try. I'll help." Ellen pulled her own little chair into the lighted hallway. Word by careful word, she read all the way through, "I think I can, I think I can." The only word mother had to correct was the one about the engine that bellowed. There, you see, you could read it to me. Yes, Ellen thought she could, because she thought she could. Thank you. The title of my last poem reads into the poem, and the title is The Great Bird of the Galaxy. Now, that was originally a phrase spoken in an episode of the first Star Trek series, the TV series, but Great Bird of the Galaxy became a nickname that fans gave to the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry. The Great Bird of the Galaxy, Star Trekked into the 23rd century on a ship named Enterprise, assigned among the bridge crew a Russian, a Japanese, a black woman, introduced his Earthlings to blue Andorians, green Orions, then warped into the next generation, where a bald British captain leads a crew that includes a blind engineer, two female MDs, and a yellow-eyed android who, like Pinocchio, yearns to be human. After the author was beamed beyond his home planet, his vision inspired still other series. A changeling shapeshifter assumes myriad forms and identities on and off space station, Deep Space Nine. The Voyager captain leads her varied crew, one of them a rehabilitated Borg, in search of a way to their home quadrant. Vulcans and humans learn to work and reason together on the very first Enterprise in the 22nd century prequel. Live long and prosper in our memory, Gene Roddenberry, and may your Vulcan ideal of IDIC, IDIC, prevail. Infinite diversity in infinite combinations. Thank you, and peace and long life. That is the appropriate response to live long and prosper. I hope there are some Star Trek fans in here tonight. Okay, and I'm happy to introduce our next reader, Christine Pazinski.